good. Well, it's good to be with you this morning. I just want to let you know I am feeling a little under the weather this morning. The good news is I did already film this entire sermon. So if I start to just feel not so great, I'm just going to grab a seat and then we're just going to continue with the video. Does that sound good? Okay, thank you so much for your grace this morning. I super appreciate that. Well, if you don't know me, my name is Ryan Clement. I'm one of the pastors on staff here working with our students and our young adults. And it is always a joy and a privilege to get to read the scripture and pray, to get to study from scholars and to say, hey, God, what do you have for our church? What do you have for us today, this morning, this week? Because we need you and we need a fresh word from you. And as I was praying, there were two things I felt like God really put on my heart that he wanted me to remind you of. And the first is that you are the church. That means you are the bride of Christ. That means you are his beloved people. That means you've been chosen by God. That means he loves you, that he cares about you, that nothing can separate you from the love that we have in Christ Jesus, that God is renewing you, he's making you new, he is giving you strength, he's giving you power, he is drawing you near to himself. Nothing can let us go out of his grasp. Nothing can separate us from him. We can never not be a part of his family. And that is us. We are the church. We are part of this church and part of this family. And God loves you and he cares about you. The second reminder is the word of God. The Bible is the word of God. It is the inerrant, inspired word that we have. We hold it in full authority for life and for faith, and we trust it. The Bible says that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God we can trust, we can rely on, we can depend on, and the Holy Spirit is constantly speaking afresh to us through his word, so we can depend on that. So let us approach his word this morning with hunger and with confidence, knowing that we are his beloved church. We're continuing our series going through the letter of 1 Timothy that Paul wrote, and last week Juno talked about women and the church and leadership and speaking, and as a church, we really affirm women in leadership, and so he talked about that, and today we're going to talk about the moral qualifications of leaders. And so early on in the letter, we heard about the importance of teaching the right things, the right doctrine, the right theology, because there were a lot of false teachers, people teaching their own versions of things or inaccurate things, and Paul says, now there are moral qualifications for leaders in your church, so we're going to talk about that. So today's really about moral integrity and it's about godly character. Now, you'll notice when we go through the passage that the language is to the overseers of the church and then to the deacons. Now, basically, the word overseers here means a few different things. It really means the core leaders of your church. And so in modern day, we could take that as this is really the lead pastor. These are their qualifications. But we could also take this as all of your staff, all of your elders serving on your board, even your key leaders in the biggest roles need to abide by these things. And so it's important to know that this is really not just for the leaders of the church, but it's for all of us this morning. Also, the language here for deacons is those who are committed in a role of serving. And so I really want us to listen in two ways this morning. Number one, if you are a leader, if you are leading something, a life group or a ministry or whatever it is, or if you are actively serving in something, like these words are for you. This is a call to moral integrity that we need to hear. But if you are a follower of Jesus, these words are for you too. Because these are all godly characteristics that we should be aspiring to and that we should go after and we should trust in God to go for these. So as much as we're going to use the leadership term a lot this morning, this is for all of us. Let's pray. Father God, we just say that we need you. And I'm just thinking even right now, literally feeling shaky and anxious. Just God, I need you. I need your strength and I need your power in this place. Speak through me. Lord, open our hearts and our minds. This morning is a giant list of things that we need to be doing much better at. And so help us to hear these words and to receive conviction from you, but to be inspired, to be changed and transformed by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord. So come and have your way in us. Stir a new and a fresh calling in us to really rise to the occasion and to be leaders to lead the present and next generations, Lord. So have your way this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I definitely appreciated the extra hour of sleep this morning. Anybody else appreciate that? Yes. Praise the Lord for that. It would be great if all the time changes could be that. Like we could just always get an extra hour. We were on time to church this morning as a family with three young kids. We were early. And we got here even before the nursery was open. Like we were just ready to go. And so we could use that extra hour every week. But I'm glad you're all here, hoping that you're feeling rested. So let's jump into the scripture. Verse 1 in 1 Timothy chapter 3 says this. Here is a trustworthy saying. Whoever aspires to be an overseer desires a noble task. And once again, Paul uses this language, trustworthy, because his character is being called into question. And he is having to repeat over and over in this letter and many other letters, you can trust my words. You can trust what I'm saying. This is important. This is meaningful for you. The word there for aspires in the Greek is really cool. It means to set your heart on something, to reach out, to stretch out, and so aspire to something. And I think it's really, really sweet that Paul is talking about leadership and encouraging us to aspire to something greater, to aspire to leadership. He's saying whoever aspires to leadership desires a noble task. This is a good thing. The church historically has been dependent upon excellent leaders in order to progress, in order to develop, in order to see things happen. The church presently is dependent upon godly leaders who will lead. And the future of the church is dependent upon good, godly, and quality leaders. This is just one verse, but I really felt that God was encouraging me to say, this is a call to leadership. This is a call to step into leadership. We need more leaders. We need better leaders. We need more quality leaders, well-trained leaders, excellent leaders who will lead this church. And I'm so grateful for all of you who are serving in a role of leadership presently and who have in the past. But I want to encourage us and challenge us this morning that maybe God is calling you to step into a greater role of leadership in this church because we need it. We all need it. Now, I was reminded of a story. So when I was in college, I was a part of a ministry called Campus Crusade for Christ, now known as Crew. And as a freshman, I was at Long Beach State studying film. And my best friend was at Cal State Fullerton. And he joined this Campus Crusade club. And I found out about it. And I met this girl and found out she went there. And so all of a sudden, I'm showing up to these meetings. And it's a different girl other than Hartley. I'm so sorry, baby. I wasn't even planning to share that. Lord help me. So, anyways, I started going to Campus Crusade there at Cal State Fullerton. I got involved with the worship team and started making friends. And it was just really cool. But it took me all the way till the end of the year to realize, well, hey, I wonder if they have a club at my own school. And so I asked some of the staff members and they said, just come to the summer leadership training and you could meet the people from your own school. So I showed up and I went to the table that said Long Beach State and I said, hey, how's it going? My name's Ryan. They're like, hi, nice to meet you. And I said, I want to be the leader of this whole club. And that's just my personality. What they really should have said was like, oh, you do? Okay. You can start by leading yourself out of this building. But they were so gracious, and I'll never forget, their response was this, thank you, we've been praying for leaders. And I just thought, praise God for that. They allowed somebody with very, very zero ministry leadership experience, so I'd only been a Christian not very long, to come in and to be a leader. And there were only five people in the club at the time, and they were all the leaders. And I was fortunate to get to be a part of the club for 4 years until I graduated. And we saw the ministry grow a ton, and I learned a ton being a part of that ministry. But I just remember two things. Number one, they were so gracious that while I was ready to step into a leadership role, I wasn't ready for it. But they knew that the first step was coming on board, and the second step I would learn as I went. And some of us here are hesitant to step into leadership roles because we don't feel qualified. And you know what? You're not. But that's why we need the Holy Spirit. That's why we need godly people in our life. God calls us, and then he qualifies us through the work that he does. And we need people who will rise to the occasion. The second thing that really stood out to me was that they were just so gracious to me while I wasn't ready, but I was able to grow a ton and able to learn. I was able to make mistakes. But the other thing, too, that was really inspiring for me was that I saw a need, and I rose to the occasion. And I think most leadership is born out of this situation. We see an issue, a problem, or a need, and we decide rather to sit back frustrated to step into it and say, I will stand up, I will rise to the occasion, and I will be a part of the solution. I will do something about this. And so my hope and prayer is really that some of us would leave the message today feeling called and inspired to step into roles of leadership or into greater leadership. One of the things I want to do, too, is a little standing. I haven't done this in a while, but I want to ask some people to stand this morning. And so here's the qualifications. If you are currently serving as a leader in our church, you lead a life group, you lead a food distribution team, you lead the whatever it is. If you're leading a group of people for anything in our church that meets, let's say, at least once a month, okay, that meets at least once a month. Could you stand for me right now? Could you stand? Don't be shy. If you're a life group leader, food distribution, whatever you're leading, could you stand? Anything. Okay. So I want everybody to look around. And these people are all awesome. Let's give them a round of applause. They're awesome. And those standing, I want you to look around at everybody else and say, come and help me, please. Please. The Lord is calling you and you. Okay, you guys can have a seat. So here's what I want to say is that we need more leaders. And we need help. But that's a good thing. And so we're going to talk more about that. So the last thing I'll say about leadership here for this is, stepping into leadership is not about control, it's not about authority, and it's not about being in charge so you can make things the way that you want. Stepping into leadership is about serving, it's about caring for others, and it's about doing what's needed. I remember Hartley, we were talking a few months back, and she went to this women's conference, and she said when she came back, you know, I really want to be in more community with other women. And I just feel like God is stirring me to do something, and I want to reach out, and I really like this conference I went. So she decided to start a life group for women. And it's like, baby, we don't have time for this. We have too many children right now. There's a lot going on. They're constantly sick. Who's going to clean the house? There's a lot. But she has worked extra, extra hard to make this work, and she's hosted a life group starting. It's been going a little over a month now. And I'm pretty sure that the women who have become a part of that are all really blessed by that. And it's just so cool to see her step into that. But she saw a need. She rose to the occasion. Many times has felt, I don't know if I'm really qualified or prepared to do this, but it's been a real blessing for all those a part of it. And so I just wanted to encourage you with that job. Good, great job, baby. That was making up for talking about other girls. I'm so sorry. All right, let's jump into verse 2. This is where it gets hard, okay? That was the fun, inspirational, like, oh, yes, let's all be leaders. And now it's like, okay, here's what we're doing wrong. Now the overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him, and he must do so in a manner worthy of full respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. Now, there's a lot of he in this. And so in the time that this was written, it was essential in this place that the main overseer or overseers of the church would be male. That's not the case presently. Again, we value men and women in leadership. So this, while it is read in the actual language with a masculine tone, this is for all of us this morning. So the first part says to be above reproach. The phrase above reproach means to be morally careful, responsible, and having a blameless reputation. To be above and beyond the average. Here's a very simple understanding of above reproach. If word gets out that there was a recent theft, and we don't know who it was, and we don't know what happened, you would never be suspected. Like, people wouldn't say, oh, yeah, Darren, yeah, it was probably him, right? Sorry to call you out, Darren. I love you, man. Come to church, I get called out, I didn't do anything. That you would never even be suspected. And this is not because you're so secretive, like, ooh, I'm really good at getting away with things. This is because your character is so above and beyond that nobody would ever think something poorly of you if something happened. You're above reproach, right? And this is a really good way to set boundaries. If you really don't want to steal money and you don't want to be known for stealing money, you don't just simply want to say, I'm not going to steal money. You want to build into your life accountability measures, right? So when you're serving at whatever event where they're collecting cash, you always have somebody around you. You're always counting in twos. There's this accountability built in. You don't want anybody to suspect. Be above reproach. So all of us and all that we do should be above reproach in every area of our life. The next is faithfulness to your wife. Now, as I said, we're going to say this is faithfulness to your spouse. But here's the interesting thing. Scholars are all over the map on what this exactly means. Here's the options. This could mean in order to be a leader, you have to be married. It could also mean you should have never been divorced. It could mean that you can't be remarried. You have to be in your first marriage. It could also mean that you need to only be married to one person. It could also mean there's just like a ton of different interpretations. But when you kind of bring it all together, what this is really saying is you need to be faithful in your relationships. Okay? If you are married, you can be a leader. If you are divorced, we'll still allow you to be a leader. Well, we want you to be healed from that. We're not just going to throw you in. But it doesn't scar you for the rest of your life. If you've got sin in your past, it doesn't like cancel you out forever. There is healing, restoration, and redemption. If you're single, you can be a leader, right? But you need to be faithful in that. If you're single and you're kind of sleeping around, or if you're married and you're hanging out with the opposite sex, other people too much, right? A little too friendly. We know how that goes. Well, I don't know how that goes, but I've heard, I've seen the movies. I'm not doing good this morning. I'm off my game. I'm faithful, I swear. But really what this comes down to is you need to be faithful in your relationships. If you are not faithful in your marriage, in your family, in your singleness, you're not going to be faithful in the church. You're not going to be faithful as a leader. And you know what? There are way too many news reports that have come out in the last year since I've been alive about great leaders in the church who have fallen into major sin. And their lives are a mess, and their families are a mess, and their ministries become a mess. It is absolutely essential that every compartment of our lives be surrendered to God. We have to live above reproach, even in our relationships. The next word here is temperate. Temperate, literally translated as sober-minded. If you've ever had too much alcohol, which I have not, then you know that your clarity of thinking is not so good. Sober-minded means that you have very clear thinking. Another way of putting it is that you're able to make wise choices out of a place of control, that you're not rash to make quick judgments, that you maintain command of your reason, that you are watchful, that you are observant, and that you carry wisdom from the Lord and from others more godly from you, that you value feedback from others, and that you're making the right choices. As a leader, as a Christian, we need to be sober-minded, making wise choices. The next is self-control, which is very similar. But we need to be in control of ourselves. We need to be sensible. We need to be disciplined. We need to be in control of our behavior, of our choices, of our actions, of our attitudes. I've always said that we can't help the thoughts that come into our mind, but we can help what we do with them. We can't help the anger or the emotion or whatever comes up out of a situation, but we can control what we do with it. We can't be dependent upon substances. We have to be educated, planned, wise, and not slave to bad habits. We're just getting started, people. That was only number 3 of 12. Okay, the next is respectable. People need to respect you. They need to look to you as an example. They need to see how you're living, how you're acting, how you're treating people and say, that person is living well. That person is living godly. I respect that person. Your actions, your attitude, your demeanor have to be good and proper in every way of your lives. If most people don't respect you, are you really ready to be a leader in the church? Are you really a good follower of Jesus? The next is hospitable. And the language here for hospitable literally means a love for the stranger. And what's interesting is in the time that this was written, the church was basically little house churches, so small groups of people averaging, we'll say, 30 or 40 in a city. And people were always moving out and about, maybe some people coming from another city on trade or on business. And there were like Motel 6s or Hyatts or, you know, whatever you, wherever you like to stay, MGM Grand, you know. They didn't have that kind of stuff. So if you went to a town, you stayed with a person in their home, right? Nowadays, oh, the family's coming in town. Yeah, there's a great hotel down the street. You know, I'll get you a deal. I'll look up some deals for you. No, yeah, we don't have room. We're full up here. So sorry. I know. Such a bummer. And so one of the qualifications for leaders in the church was you got to let people stay in your house because you're going to have people coming from out of town and they got to stay somewhere. So you want to be the next pastor? Great. You got an extra bedroom? Right. That was the qualification. And so I want us to think about that in modern day context. It's not just letting people live in your home for a while, which could be. But maybe it's having people over, sharing a meal together, welcoming people with a smile, being hospitable in every area of your life, wherever you go, welcoming people, embracing new people, reaching out. Okay, the next qualification is you must be able to teach. This is the ability to communicate, to educate, and to articulate essential principles and theology. It is important that as leaders, we are able to teach. Part of this does include discipline and correction, right? As sometimes as leaders, we need to pull people aside. And I do this a lot with this sort of the pastoral rub. So if you worked with me, like students, young adults, I kind of come alongside and I do the, how's it going? Yeah. You got some issues going on. And I let people know what's going on. The other part of this able to teach is this, and I think this is really important, is as leaders, our primary role is not to shine in our gifting, it is to develop those around us. And this is something that as I've been kind of on this journey to learn, because when I first really stepped into like my youth